Folks, new Christians are referred to in Scripture as babes or infants in Christ Jesus. The Bible pictures the conversion process as a birth process. That's why we oftentimes refer to an individual who has just been immersed into Christ as one who has been born again. In fact, Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." John 3, verse 3. The Apostle Paul states in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Notice that Paul says we become a new creature. Other versions refer to it as a new creation. Once you and I have gone into the waters of baptism, that old man of sin is dead and buried. We arise a new creature in Christ, and that new creature is what the Bible refers to as a babe in Christ. That babe has an unbelievable challenge upon his hands. And that challenge is this: it is his responsibility to grow to spiritual maturity. We have a theme at Oceanside for this year, and it is entitled, "I Am Resolved." You and I, as God's children, need to make resolutions constantly in our spiritual lives. Folks, we don't need to wait until the first of the year and say, "Well, I guess I'll make a few resolutions, attempt them, and then give up." Oh no, we can make resolutions on a daily basis with regard to our spirituality. And what we've been trying to do about once a month is come back to our theme and encourage you to make a particular resolution if that resolution needs to be made in your life. And today we're talking about one of those, and the resolution is simply this: I am resolved to grow to maturity. Now, we got a bunch of old folks in here, and I know how old folks are. Old folks think, "Well, I'm already mature." Let's do some talking about spiritual maturity this morning. Point number one, very simply, is this: we have been commanded by God to grow. We'll only look at two verses. One of them is 2 Peter 3, verse 18. "But growing grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to Him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Notice that Peter exhorts us to grow in two areas. First, in grace, and secondly, in knowledge. Notice that Peter says this is not optional. It is not something that you and I just can choose to do if we want to, leave it undone if we want to. Oh no, if you and I want to be pleasing to God, Peter says we must grow. It is a command of the Almighty God. We also find a similar statement in Ephesians 4:15. "But speaking the truth in love," now listen to what he says, "may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ." Folks, our responsibility as the body of Christ, as individual Christians, is to grow and grow and grow and grow and mature and develop and just get better and better and better. So the command is to grow in Christ Jesus. Let's look at point number two, some facts about growth. The very first fact is this: growth is absolutely essential. My friends, if you and I are not growing, we will eventually die. If you and I are not growing, then you and I are not going to be individuals who produce fruit for the Almighty God. Let me ask you something. When you plant a tomato seed and that plant begins to grow, does it just immediately begin to produce fruit? Absolutely not. It may take a month, it may take 2 months, it may take 10 weeks before there finally begins to develop a fruit on that particular plant. The only way for that plant to become fruitful, the only way for it to become productive, is for it to continue throughout the entirety of the growth process. If you and I fail to grow, we will never develop the fruit that God wants us to produce. Notice also, if we do not grow, then we cannot be used. We're going to come back to that point. further in this lesson. And then lastly, notice this. If we do not grow, we are not obedient to the Almighty God. And folks, is that not essential for our salvation? Absolutely. So the first point is this. Growth is essential. It is an absolute must in every one of our lives. Point number two. Growth takes effort. You and I are not just going to grow because we've become a Christian. Just because I put on Christ in baptism doesn't mean all of a sudden I'm going to be this strong, spiritual, mature individual in Christ Jesus. Oh no. In order for me to become the mature Christian God wants me to be, I must involve myself in the process. I've got to put forth as much effort as needed to develop. We see that in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 11. Peter talks about our need to add the Christian graces to our lives. There's faith and there's seven other graces that he mentions in that context. He begins with these words in verse 5. And besides this, watch what he says, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Notice that word, all diligence. He then lists the Christian graces and he begins an exhortation. And in verse 10, listen to what he says. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. He begins with diligence, he ends with diligence. Folks, Peter wants us to know that adding these Christian graces to our lives means you've got to put forth effort. There's got to be labor. There's got to be toil. You're going to have to be focused on your spiritual development to become what God wants you to become. Give diligence. Growth takes effort. Point number three, growth takes time. I've got 6 grandchildren. And I'm amazed at how quickly they grow, but I'm also amazed at how slowly they grow. Aren't you? Cole's been around for 13 years. Unbelievable that I got a grandson that old, because I'm not that old. But just the other day, I see him all dressed up in his football outfit. And guess what? He's still not a grown man yet. He's still pretty skinny. Oh yeah, he's taller than Granddad. Doesn't take much. But he's still not developed into a young man. He's not shaving yet. He's just not to the point of growth. And it's been 13 years, folks. Growth takes what? Growth takes time. In Hebrews, the 5th chapter, the writer chides and reprimands his readers because they have not developed into what he thinks they ought to be, and that's teachers. But I find it interesting the way he begins this particular section in verse 12, where he says this, "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers." Notice that the writer does not discount the fact that growth takes time. That wasn't the problem. It wasn't because they were immature. His problem with them was this. The time had already passed. They had been Christians for a long enough time that they should have been teachers, and yet they were still babes in Christ. But he acknowledges the fact that growth takes time. I understand that an individual who was baptized last year isn't going to be where I am as a gospel preacher. That individual may never reach that particular level. But the point is that you and I are going to have to grow, and we're going to have to be patient with ourselves at times. We're going to have to put forth the effort over and over and over and over again. And if we'll do that over a long period of time, we can become full grown in Christ Jesus. So growth takes time. Notice this. We are to grow in many areas. And this is where part of the challenge is for all of us who are older. Folks, it's not just about growing in our knowledge. Yes, that's important, and Peter acknowledges that, doesn't he? the growing grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's essential that you and I get smarter and smarter and more developed as far as the Word of God is concerned. But have you ever seen a lot of smart people who are mean Christians? They're just mean. I've seen several. Have you ever seen a very smart Christian who does not know how to control his lips or her lips? Out of control. No self-discipline. Oh yes, brilliant as far as the Word of God concerned. Can quote it, knows the book back and forth, and yet hasn't grown in other areas. So just because I possess a lot of knowledge doesn't mean that I'm a full-grown Christian yet. You see, the Bible tells us also that we are to increase in our love. I find it interesting what Paul says in this verse, however. He says this, "And this I pray, that your love abound more and more," now listen to what he says, "in knowledge and in judgment." Folks, knowledge and judgment are an essential part of our love. So oftentimes, individuals think of love solely as an emotion. And it is, isn't it? There is an emotional component to love. But you see, some individuals just act solely out of the emotional component of love, and they do not take into consideration the knowledge and the judgment that is supposed to be connected with love. Paul says, yes, I want your love to abound more and more, but I want it to do so in knowledge and in judgment. I find that interesting. A unique place where you and I are to grow. Notice also that Paul exhorts us to possess the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. 9 different virtues that he exhorts us to have. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, patience, temperance. Against such, there is no law. Wow. Folks, he tells us that we need to put these 9 fruits of the Spirit in operation in our lives. And then we've already made mention of 2 Peter 1, 5 through 7. 8 Christian graces that are to be developed in our lives. And some of them are not the same as those 9 fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5. Folks, you and I have a lot of work to do, don't we? You see, I can be wonderful in one area and I can fall short in another area. I might be an individual who is very loving and very caring, and yet my knowledge not be where it needs to be. I may be an individual who is brilliant, and yet I have not mastered the concept of self-control. I may be a person who knows all kinds of stuff about truth, and yet I'm really not faithful like I need to be yet. You see, all of these are components of the spiritual life, and I have to grow in every area that God desires me to grow. So growth involves numerous areas. Notice this next one. Growth makes me more like Jesus. Folks, if there's any desire that any one of us in this audience ought to have, it's this: every day, I want to be more like Jesus today. You know that? And guess what? The very reason, boy, that went fast, didn't it? The very reason that the Bible has been given is in order to make us like the Christ. Did you know that? Here's something that's interesting. Every chapter, every paragraph, every sentence, every word of the living God is intended to mold me into the nature of Jesus. Why? Because in every word in Scripture, the nature of God has been instilled therein. It's interesting. That's why Paul tells us in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye," what? "Transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Folks, if I'm not where I need to be right now, guess what? There's still hope, isn't it? Today, I can take the Word of God and I can mold myself just a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more into the image of God's dear Son. Go home tonight and put together Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, with 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Jesus is talking in Matthew 5, and he says this, "Be ye therefore perfect, as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." That's a pretty high standard, is it not? So the question comes, how do we do that? How do I become perfect like God? How do I become complete and entire like God? 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 tells me, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." Now listen to him. "That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works." Folks, it's not a waiting game. It's not something that you just kind of lay around and hope happens. Oh, no. If you and I want to mold ourselves into the image of the Almighty God, into the image of His dear Son, it's by taking the Word of God and making application of it in our lives every day. Every day. Point number six. Growth makes us useful in the kingdom. Have you ever seen a sign like this? "Now hiring," watch this, "experienced welders." Now there's a lot of welders out there who are fresh out of school. And guess what? They see a sign like that and they know, no need for me to go in and apply. I haven't even had my first job yet. No inexperienced welders. We want experienced only. Why? Because we have a job to do. We may have many jobs to do. We don't have time to train. We don't have time to develop. We don't have time for mistakes. We don't have time to make certain that everything is just right with an inexperienced individual. We need experienced people to step up to the plate and get the job done. Folks, there's some important jobs in the kingdom. Did you know that? And there is a ton of work that needs to be done in the body of Christ. And we need men and women who are willing to develop themselves, willing to grow to such a point in their spiritual maturity that God can use them. We need men who can become teachers. We need men who can step up and become elders and deacons. We need men who can step up to the plate and become preachers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Folks, there are pulpits empty this very morning, because there are not enough men to preach the gospel within those. You see, we need people that will develop themselves to be used for the cause of Christ. You see, there's other positions as well. We can become a mentor of another. We can become a comforter, an encourager, a restorer of those who are erring. We can become a defender of the faith. And folks, guess what? You don't have to be teachers, elders, deacons, and preachers to do those kind of things. But you don't think it takes some maturity to restore an erring person to the body of Christ? You don't think it takes some maturity to go into a home of an individual who is struggling and who needs comforting and comfort them the way they need to be comforted? You see, so oftentimes an individual just walk in and says, "Oh, get over it. Put your faith in Jesus and get up off that couch. You'll be all right." Folks, that's not what people need. They need experienced comforters who've been comforted themselves, according to 2 Corinthians 1 verse 3, to help them get off that couch and get back to their faithfulness. So you see, we've got to develop ourselves to become useful. I love this passage of Scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 21. Notice how he begins. "If a man therefore purge himself of these." Now you have to go back into the context and read. There's some things in our lives sometimes that are negative, folks. They may not be sinful, but they're negatives. They may be sinful, and regardless of what they are, whether they're just a negative or whether they're sinful, guess what we need to do? We need to get rid of those things. Because you see, I want to be made into a vessel of honor, sanctified. Now watch what he says. And meet for the master's use. Some versions say this, fit for the master's use. Wow. You see, I want to be developed to the point that when God needs somebody, guess what? I'm the person that He can use. You need to develop yourself to the point that when something is needed, you are there to be used by the Almighty God. Folks, it's not about us. It's about God and what He needs. And we've got to grow to be fit for His use. Point number 7. Growth preserves the cause of Christ from reproach. I've tried to emphasize this particular point over and over and over again in various lessons, and it's this. People who are not Christians are watching us. Did you know that? Those people know what you boast about. They know that you will tell them, "Oh yes, I'm a Christian. I go down there to the Oceanside Church of Christ. I am trying to develop myself into Jesus Christ. I'm a faithful Christian." Well, the minute you say it, guess what? Eyeballs are on you. You know that? They know what Christianity is about, or many do. They know the qualities. They know the characteristics. They know how Christians are supposed to act. They know the kind of attitude they should have. They know the kind of words they should speak. They know the kind of behavior they should demonstrate. They know how a person who is a Christian treats another individual. They know that. And the very moment we mess up, guess what? They hold us accountable, don't they? They may not say it, but in their mind, here's what they're thinking. "I thought you were a Christian." You see, they've judged the cause of Christ, and they've judged it negatively, haven't they? Folks, the Bible talks about this kind of stuff. Philippians 2:15, "that ye may be harmless and blameless, the sons of God," watch these next two words, "without," what? "Without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world." That's Paul's desire for the Christians at Philippi. He said, "I want you to become individuals wherein that you're blameless, you're harmless, you're the sons of God, and you cannot be what? Rebuked." A person sees your life and there's nothing bad they can say. There's nothing negative. Oh yes, they may not agree with your ideology. They may not agree with your doctrine. They may not agree with all of the views that you have relative to Scripture. But guess what? As a human being, they will confess that man or that woman is a Christian. No rebuke, folks. You see, the kind of life we live matters. And we ought to want to live a life so that there is no rebuke from other individuals. We bring no reproach upon the body of Christ. Lastly, growth keeps one from apostasy. Here's a point. An individual who is healthy, an individual who is growing, an individual who is active and vibrant, guess what, folks? You don't fear that that individual is going to fall away from the cause of Christ. But if I have an individual who is sickly and who is weak, guess what? I fear greatly that the point will come when he will never return. Never return. Because you see, an individual who is weak, a person who is sick, that's the one Satan preys on. That's the one he wants. That's the one he's going to do everything in his power to destroy, because he's a roaring lion and he picks out the weak ones of the bunch to destroy. So I stay healthy so that doesn't happen. Let's go back to 2 Peter for just a minute, chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. Notice what Peter says. "For if ye do these things," talking about adding those Christian graces, "for if ye do these things, ye shall" what? "Never fall." Wow. I find it interesting, first of all, that Peter indicates that we can what? We can fall. Folks, you and I can apostatize from the truth. You and I can fall away from the body of Christ. You and I can cause our souls to be lost if we don't stay faithful. And part of that faithful living is adding those Christian graces. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. And he goes on to say this, for so an interest shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Folks, you don't want to fall. You don't want to die and go to hell. You want to die and enter into that eternal kingdom? Then guess what? Grow. Add the Christian graces to your life. Become a spiritually mature individual. I could have made this another point, but I said, no, we're going to just make it a whole point in and of itself. What are some of the evidences that you and I are growing as Christians? I'm just going to run through these pretty quickly. Some of the evidences that you and I are growing in Christ. Point number one, we are hungry for God's Word. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2, verse 2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. That was part of the evidence that I am growing in Christ, is that I'm hungry for the Word of God. You want to be in Bible class. You want to be in Sunday morning worship. You want to be in Sunday evening worship. You want to be at Wednesday night Bible class. If there's a special class, you desire to be there. Why? Because the Bible is being fed. The Word of God is being fed. And I'm hungry for it. And I want to grow even more. Folks, stop eating today and see what happens to you in a month. I'm not talking just about the Bible. I'm talking about quit eating physically today. Now, you won't do that. You are already thinking about lunch. Okay? But you just quit eating today and see what happens to you in a month. See what happens to you in 2 months. We may not, well, we'll be seeing what happened to you in 3 months, won't we? You die. Folks, part of my showing that I'm a growing Christian is I have this hunger for the Word of God. I find it sad that Christians have this attitude about the Word. Oh, I got to go to worship. Oh, I got to go to Bible study. What's wrong with you? You're sick. There's a problem. You're not growing the way you should. Point number two, obedience to the Word of God. I've got an example out there, Philemon, verse 21. Philemon was a slave owner of the first century, and he had a slave by the name of Onesimus who had left him. In fact, as he left, the text indicates that he may have even stole some things from Philemon upon his leaving. Onesimus finds Paul. He's converted to the cause of Christ. And now Paul's going to send Onesimus, the slave, back to his owner, Philemon. And so Paul writes this beautiful letter, one chapter, known as the book of Philemon. And in verse 21, he says this, these things write I unto you because I know your obedience. Now listen to what he goes on to say, that ye will do even more than I say. Folks, Paul's not talking to a child in Christ. Did you know that? Paul's talking to a man he knows is mature and developed and full grown. He says, I'm writing to you because I know the kind of obedient lifestyle that you have and that you've demonstrated. And I know this as well. You're not going to do just a little bit of what I've said. You're not just going to do exactly what I've said. You will even do more than what I say. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could get the whole church to say this? What must I do? Then do it. And then say, what more can we do? Folks, it's not a matter of doing just as little as you possibly can to scoot yourself through the golden gates. You know that? That's not the way spiritually mature people are. What more can I do? You see, that's spiritual maturity. Another point the purging of sinful practices. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. He goes on to say that we must perfect holiness. Notice that word, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Folks, I've got to grow in my spiritual holiness, don't I? The world is always going to have an impact. We came out of a sinful world. And every day, I've got to do all I can do to get rid of the nasty stuff and stay as holy and separate from the world as I possibly can. In the process, we also add the Christian graces. Here's what Peter says, and besides this, giving all diligence. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance. And to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. And to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. There's the eight Christian graces. Folks, we've got to take those and add those to our lives. Notice also, I've got to develop the ability to endure. Christianity doesn't always go my way. Sometimes individuals will oppose us. Sometimes they will oppose us in a very stern manner. Sometimes they will bring persecution and yes, even death upon us. What do? Just give up? No, not the spiritually mature. Paul was on the conclusion of his third missionary journey. He was about to go back to the city of Jerusalem. And his brethren were warning him over and over, Paul, if you go back to Jerusalem, bad things are going to happen to you. Here's what Paul says, but none of those things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself. Wow. Paul says, I'm not scared of tribulation. I'm not scared of persecution. I'm not scared if I have to give my life for the cause of Christ. I'm going to finish my course. And I'm going to complete the ministry which the Lord has placed upon me. We turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6. Folks, Paul is staring death in the face. He's already stood once before the Caesar. And he knows now I have to go back and be sentenced. And listen to what he says. I am now ready to be offered. And the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Is there any fear in Paul's voice as he vocalizes those words? No. He says, I'm ready to be offered. If I've got to die today, I am ready to do that. That is a spiritually mature individual. It is exactly what Demas wasn't. Paul says, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Folks, he wanted to live rather than die. How about this one? Moving up in position. If I'm really developing myself as a Christian, I'm going to move up in my position in the body of Christ. I've got down another example. Acts 16 verse 3. There we read about a young man by the name of Timothy. He was probably converted on Paul's first missionary journey. On the second missionary journey, Paul goes through his hometown again. And in verse 3, the Bible says this, and him would Paul have to go with him. Uh-oh, his life is about to change, isn't it? I don't know what Timothy's occupation was. I don't know what he did every day prior to this particular time. I know he was faithful. I know he was well reported of by the brethren. And now when Paul comes along this second time into the city, he sees this young man. He hears about this young man. And Paul says this, it's time to step up, Timothy. I want you to become an evangelist. Folks, when the time comes, it's time for men to step up if they're mature. Here's what you don't find, Timothy. Oh, why don't you get somebody else? No, I got too many other things to do. No, Paul, I don't think I really want to do that. I'm satisfied right here. My mama needs me. Folks, that's not what Timothy did. Timothy stepped up to the plate and Timothy became a faithful evangelist for the cause of Christ, didn't he? Now, I'm not talking just to men, ladies. You know that? Ladies can become teachers like Priscilla. Women can become servants. Women can become like Dorcas and make coats for those in need. Women can become like Marys of Romans 16 and verse 6, who are laborers for the cause of Christ. There comes a time when ladies have to step up to the plate as well. And folks, the only way we can do that is to be mature Christians. You know that? Mature Christians say, "Here am I, send me." Mature Christians say, "What will thou have me to do, Lord?" And they always step up to the plate the way God wants them to. How about this one? Fellowship with the saints. Folks, mature Christians know the importance of the body of Christ. The body of Christ is not something God has given for us to just say, "Well, if I want it, I'll take it. If I don't want it, I won't take it." Oh, no. Faithful Christians understand. Steadfast Christians, full-grown Christians, know how important this body is to one another. The Bible says, "And they continued with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, and did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart." Acts 2, verse 46. Those early Christians knew the importance of their fellowship one with another. I don't need the church. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. If you didn't, God wouldn't have given it. He knows the importance of it to our lives, doesn't He? How about this? Spreading the gospel of Christ. Folks, you know, if you and I are spiritually mature, we understand how important the gospel is and its need in the lives of other people. Paul said, "But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto us which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God." Oh yeah, the folks in the world, they look upon preaching of the gospel as something that's ignorant, something that's not needed. It's a hindrance. It's a joke. It's foolishness. Folks, not to us who are mature Christians. It is the power of God. And it is the wisdom of God. It is how God has saved the world from sin and iniquity. And that message needs to be heard by as many people as we can take it to, doesn't it? Spiritual maturity. Folks, when it comes to our Christian lives, one of three things is happening. Do you know that? Number one, we're just standing still. Oh yeah, we may look like we're putting in a lot of effort. We're just like an old hamster on a wheel, aren't we? We're running hard and we're going absolutely nowhere. There's no growth. Or, how about that one? You're going backwards. That's not good, is it? Going the wrong way. Well, God wants us moving forward, not backwards. Or, we're growing upward in Christ Jesus. Yes, there was that time we were young. We continued to mature. We continued to develop. And now we've reached that point where we are spiritually mature in Christ. 2 points in the lesson yours. Here's the first one. This is where I come back to all the older members of the congregation. Folks, there is no limit. No limit to our spiritual maturity. Did you know that? I guess I reached 5'7" at 17 years old, and for 40 years, I've been stuck there. And guess what? I got no hope. No hope to get any bigger than what I am right now. I'm not going to grow another inch. I may shrink, but I'm not growing anymore. Not so in Christ. Folks, I can be little bitty, or I can be huge, and guess what? I can still grow. Why? Because of the standard, folks. The standard is God, isn't He? The standard is to become like Him. There's absolutely no way that any one of us can fully accomplish that, but guess what? It leaves my growth potential unlimited while I am here. And I can always continue to press on and become like my God and my Savior, Jesus Christ. Dear Christian, we ask you today, as you look at your Christian life, is it one of growth? You've been a Christian 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, 10 years, 20 years. Have you really grown? We exhort you to press on to maturity. Become what God wants you to be. Maybe today you desire to grow in Christ, but you're not even in Him yet. Folks, you can be born again. You know that? That old man of sin and wickedness can be put aside. You can obey the gospel of Christ. You can arise a new creature in Christ, and you can start that growth process today. Here's something that's wonderful. In a matter of a year or two or three, some people can develop themselves into quite mature Christians. Did you know that? If they'll put forth the effort. Do you want to become a Christian this morning? If you believe in the Christ, will repent of sins, confess the name of Jesus, and be immersed into Christ, you can be. Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Folks, you've got to obey the teachings of the Spirit, and you've got to be born of water, immersed into Christ for the forgiveness of sins. Do you need to do that? Won't you come as together we stand and sing? Amen.